I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looks like old Yoshi's suffering from some cloacal dissonance.
Clef in the chat says, try to keep the far right shenanigans down for once. I think that's good advice.
That's... Oh, buddy. You have no idea what you're in for. Remember, you invited me, so...
Also, that reminds me of that Watchmen quote where it's like, you guys are in here with me.
You guys are in here with me.
You're in here with me for... What does Bonesaw say in Spider-Man?
Saw is ready!
I got you for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of playtime.
It's also famously what Dr. Jordan Peterson said when he was on Joe Rogan at the very beginning. So, I'm not trapped in here with you.
I've got you for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of playtime.
Yeah, he said that.
3 minutes, woke moralists, okay?
Yeah, you're in here with me, okay? You're trapped in here with me.
I'm gonna fuck you in the ass, and it's gonna feel good on my little frog wiener.
No, let's actually start though. We didn't introduce ourselves. We didn't introduce the guests. So,
do you guys want to? You want me to take them in, or should I? You guys, any of you guys have anything prepared?
I got you.
Oh, okay. Is it racist?
Not this time.
Not this time.
Done. You got my hopes up.
Oh,
I'm disappointed in you now.
Well, give the guest what he wants, Tristan.
No, don't. God.
Bust out the words. Bust out the four-letter words.
I got you.
Nope. Cut that.
Thank you.
Nope. Editors cut that the fuck out like the tumor that it was.
I'm sorry, I don't speak Italian.
Oh, it's okay. No worries.
Anyway, welcome to the first podcast. We're back with Jacob Takanashi. And
hello.
Tristan can't get through the intro without giggling. And hello, Jake. How's it going?
Hey, it's good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Do you remember being here before?
I was here with Stamper a few years ago.
Yes.
And then I did an Among Us thing I think you guys were doing. Maybe, was it a charity event or something like that? But yeah, it's been a while. How's it going? Good. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, welcome back, bud.
It wasn't charity. We were just doing like the whole thing where like everybody comes together and plays Among Us. So we just invited everybody that we knew.
TJ, just say it was charity. You could have gotten away with it.
No,
just...
okay, yeah. It was charity, yeah.
Yeah, it was totally for the kids. Totally for the kids.
Wait, no, I don't want you guys to say we did a fake charity recording. Fuck you. No. They're going to be like, all right, where'd you donate the money? No, I don't want that shit.
To the Lars Householder Enrichment Fund? I don't know.
That's how he got his electric car.
Also, just to be clear, when Jacob was last on, also, he came on alongside Stamper, and the chaos of that episode might be why he doesn't perfectly remember every moment of it, because recording with Stamper is fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I think, did he like leave halfway through?
No, that was the first time we tried to record with him and he stopped. Yeah, or was that the second time?
I don't know. Both times I was there because we were living together at the time.
He left at the end and just left you there.
Yeah. He's like, I need to go to the bathroom. And then he went and fell, like, passed out in the toilet because he was, like, really drunk, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tried to do a Sir Pentius voice, but couldn't quite get through it.
Well, I'm really glad to meet you, Jacob. Nice to meet you. We're happy to have you on.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Like I said, I don't know how much of a draw I'll be, but I'm flattered that you would think to invite me. Thank you.
You sound like MatPat.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's mean.
No, I get that a lot. I get that a lot. If there's a game theory quote you want me to hear, you want to hear, just say it and I'll do it. No worries.
I'm going to send him a game I'm going to send him a game theory text in DMs so he can read it for us.
Yeah, do it. I am a voice actor, so I'll do a MatPat impression for you. What do you got?
Well, let's do that towards the end. Give people a reason to tune in to the entire episode. Yeah, because then they'll be. By the way, guys.
You want to hear my epic MatPat impression?
By the way, guys, if you are tuning into this on YouTube, go ahead and toss us a subscription. You can always change your mind later. A helicopter is going right by my house at this time, so that's a really good time for it to do that. Yeah, it's difficult because, like, this missile silo is the only place I can actually legally record, so my options are kind of limited. But yeah, guys, we have a YouTube channel now. Isn't that cool?
Ah.
You can actually watch the episodes on video, and TJ's been whipping up some good edits, as well as Spaghetto as myself. So
Yay.
If you're listening on audio, you're getting most of the experience.
Yeah, one of the more recent recordings we did that actually just, what, is it coming out today? I don't know. By the time you'll see this, it'll...
Something like that.
By the time you'll see this, it'll be out. We did an episode with Goose Boost, and we talked about really shitty horror movies, and in the video version, we put, like, the poster art for each of the shitty horror movies, which are worth looking at, because some of them just have absolutely fucking insane movie posters. Worth it.
Is this
so go check that out.
Is this going to be on the YouTube channel once it's all edited down and everything like that? Or is
it
like
No,
we just do this for fun, and then once the call ends, we all delete our files. And
yeah,
say,
we
fuck
delete
you.
Our audio.
If you're listening to this on the YouTube, what are you doing? Press the fucking subscribe button. Almost a describe button. Subscribe button.
Describe
Push
from
it.
Us.
Describe for me why the subscribe button's still red and not gray.
Yeah,
are you stupid or are you a dog? Are you colorblind? If you are, I'm sorry. If you are colorblind, I feel bad now.
Well, if you're colorblind, it'll say subscribe. If you're not subscribed,
yeah, there'll be a little there. D at the end of it.
Yeah. By the way, guys, if you're not watching this on YouTube, go ahead and pull it up on YouTube because we're gonna include a picture of Jacob in it. And if you're a straight male who doesn't look like Jacob, you're gonna be really pissed off.
Oh.
Because yeah. If you guys haven't seen what he looks like the world's most like perfect looking individual. I don't understand why you look like that. Like, what's going on?
I don't know, man. DNA,
like, how?
Genetics. That's
send a picture of it in the recording chat.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like when they make an average image between like a bunch of people, and it's like a super attractive person that comes out at the other end.
Yeah. The first time I saw him, I was like, oh fuck, god fucking damn it, why?
I mean, yeah, he's attractive. It's just like default attractive settings.
I look like it, like the default. Like if you were to boot up Uncharted and like have like a default character, yeah. It would just be like
he just looks like Nathan Drake. Like,
I should do a Nathan Drake cosplay at the next convention I get invited to. Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
You got a lot of good quippy one-liners. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. That kind of stuff.
Wait, Jacob, what is the size of your nipples?
I don't know. Let me take a look. See.
Good question.
They're quite large, actually. That is one of my handicaps. If you take like, all right. So if you take like a soda bottle cap, like a cap off of a Coca-Cola, my nipple is about the size of the inside diameter of that.
Oh, those are not that big nipples. That's not that bad.
They're dark though. That's the thing. They're like.
I'm putting a bottle cap up to my nipple right now. I'm comparing. It's a normal size for
a
nipple.
So what you're saying is that you'd be incredibly wealthy in the Fallout universe.
Well, yeah.
That's true.
Wait.
They're dark though. That's the thing. They're like, it's like a shockingly dark.
Because instead of using bottle caps, you could cut off his nipples.
Any girls ever see me naked, like mistakes them for moles. They're like, oh my god, have you got skin cancer? They're just like they're like Vanta black. I got Vanta black nipples, dog.
Wow.
Your nipples look like milk duds.
They do. I love the Kung Pao reference, by the way. Thank
yes,
you. Thank
you somebody that. Knows that one. Okay, there you go.
I actually really like the Vanta Black reference. If you guys don't know what he's talking about, Vanta Black is like this, I don't know if it's owned by Pantone or something, where it's like blacker than black. It's really, really weirdly dark. It's weird to look at even on the internet. Like, it's strange.
I saw this video where somebody painted a BMW with Vanta black, and it was really fucking cool.
Yeah, it just disappears. It's like, what just happened?
Much like my nipples.
I'm just glad Jacob and I have the exact same size nipples, except I'm not handicapped because mine aren't dark, so I can actually wear white t-shirts.
Oh, that's the worst. Having a white t-shirt with really dark nipples, like, they're showing. Mm-hmm. They're coming through. I'm sorry, dog. Unless you're wearing an undershirt, I have to wear undershirts, dog. Otherwise...
You know what's fucking awesome, though? When a chick has dark nipples and she's wearing a light shirt.
Yeah! I'm here for it. I dig it.
Yeah!
Ecom bocom.
Wait, Tristan, aren't you...
Wait, you want to know what's even better, though?
Dudes, because you're gay? What?
When a guy has a white shirt on and he has dark nipples and his name is Jacob.
That's me!
Yeah, because... Yeah, as I say, didn't you recently... Yeah, you recently... You can't...
What happened?
Tristan recently came out as gay on the podcast. He keeps sneaking in like, oh, I'm into women, or I don't understand.
Is that Spaghetto? Ew, I didn't know I'd be here with a gay person. Gross. How dare you? You gotta let me know these things before I come on, because I would have kissed him lightly on the lips before agreeing to come on. Oh, then he's gone.
Right before you said that.
I mean, I didn't say anything nice.
Yeah. Tristan, you just missed the biggest kiss. The podcast.
Mwah.
No, I came back as soon as he said kiss.
Oh, damn. Okay.
What he didn't hear is I said I wanted to lightly rub the underside of his penis, but I don't think... Whoopsie, I said it again.
Uh-oh. Well, wait. Jacob, I don't have a penis. It's just not there.
Oh, okay. Well, it's even better.
Were you castrated?
What?
What the fuck?
You said you don't have a penis, right?
Wait, no, hold on. No. Tristan, you just said, I don't have a penis, and then TJ said, what, were you castrated? And you're like, what the fuck? As if that was like a weird thing to say afterwards. Like yeah, that's the conclusion someone would draw.
TJ, that's too much. Okay, calm down. You need to calm down.
He's one of those, what you call a eunuch.
Oh, okay.
I've been to Munich.
Munich?
Jacob, if you can, by the way. Can you give someone the elevator pitch for who you are, for people who didn't see the first episode?
Sure. My name is Jacob Takanashi. I am a character actor for video games, animation, live action, dubs. I've been doing this for about 3 years. You can hear me in some video games like Final Fantasy Brave Exvius. You can hear me in, as Richt. I voiced the character Richt in Final Fantasy Brave Exvius. In Azure Striker Gunvolt 3, I voiced the character Stratos. You can hear me in some anime, like Nippon Animation's Gen Banojo, where I voiced the titular character Gen Banojo. You can hear me in TV, Asahi, / Facebook, Meta, or whatever. They did a horror thing called Tokyo Case, in which I voice the character Detective Mizuno. If you're into like YouTube animations, you can hear me in some Meat Canyon cartoons. I voice the Japanese guy in Yokai Bob the Builder. I also did the character Thomas in Stink Fiend for Meat Canyon. And more live-action dubs than you can shake a stick at. You can hear me as Franco and Roman in Pasión de Galavantes, or Passion of the Hawks for Telemundo. You can hear me as Tomas Del Rio in Hume. You can hear me as, oh geez, fuck, my Katase in Captain Tsubasa Road to 2002. I also voice Pagiani in Captain Tsubasa Road to 2002. There's a bunch of stuff.
Hands in a lot of pies.
You have to pull up your own IMDb to remember all your roles.
There's a bunch I missed for sure, but you know. Yeah.
Hi. I remember, yeah, hi Jake. I remember Brave Exvius is one of those games where if you haven't played it, it's that one of those on the Play Store that has the kind of like the cool, like, not SNES graphics sprites, but like a step above that. And characters look really slick. Yeah. So you guys have probably seen that.
Oh, I was going to say, as far as Brave Exvius, for their 7th anniversary, I voiced the new character that they did. So they had like this big 7th anniversary celebration out in Los Angeles, and they introduced my character, and I got to do some voice lines for his Limit Break and some storylines and everything like that. It was a lot of fun. I'm grateful to Square Enix for having me.
Jake, you're forgetting the big one here, though, that you voiced Griff.
Oh, yeah!
Far-Fetched.
Fuck! Yeah, I voiced Griff in Far-Fetched as well. A cartoon by Dave Capdeville, who's also been on this podcast a couple times, and Ashley Nichols, who I assume has been on this podcast a couple times. I saw her. I voiced Griffin Farfetch'd as well. Yeah. He's fun. We just put out a new song. We put out a cover of I Put a Spell on You from Hocus Pocus. We put it out for Halloween. Go check it out on YouTube. Mm. It was a lot of fun. We just put that out like last week.
Ooh.
Not even a week ago, maybe like 4 or 5 days ago. A lot of fun. Can't believe I forgot Farfetch'd.
Hey, do you guys want to hear my favorite Meat Canyon quote?
Go for it.
You're saying it in a certain voice that makes me feel like I should be worried.
Uh-oh.
Got a tight little man pussy on you, don't you?
Wabbit food.
Oh, it stinks nice and good.
My favorite Meat Canyon quote was, there was a Meat Canyon video where, like, the algorithm was this, like, was a monster, and it was, like, demanded, like, Meat Canyon was playing Meat Canyon. He was playing himself. And, like, the algorithm monster got him, like, pinned up in a corner. He's like, give me hot and trendy content. And, like, content. He's like, I don't know, fucking the Oscars, but Will Smith, like, slaps Chris Rock's ass instead of his face. And then he did that, and then they're like, that was weird. I can't monetize that. The pacing and the voice was very, very odd and had sexual undertones. And Meat Canyon was like, no, you got me on that one. I fall back on that one a lot. It's like that moment of self-awareness. Yeah, it was really, really funny to me. I don't know.
It was so good, too, because Chris Rock's ass was just like, oh, man, it was so thick and juicy, and I wanted to smack it like a bongo drum.
Oh, there's the gay trust in Beck. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, like when I was watching the movie Spiral, man, I was half chubbed the entire time.
I thought you were going to say when you were watching Madagascar, you were chubbed out every time you saw Marty on
screen. Wow.
Ew.
Tristan.
No, TJ.
Is that true?
We talked about this. I would rather be gay than do bestiality. Come on.
That's a pretty healthy attitude to have, I think. I think I would probably rather do gay stuff than bestiality as well. That's
but then you
a controversial statement.
Hold on.
What do you mean, hold on?
Hold on.
No, there is no hold on.
No. Tristan, in a previous episode, you said you would go on a date with Incineroar.
That's like the furry icon. What are you talking about? That's super furry. That's like the furriest Pokemon that's ever existed.
Yeah, I'm calling you out, Tristan.
So Slender in the chat there, and same for Bimby, Vexa. They've been with me for ages. Like, they've been pals of mine for a very, very long time. They've been, like, pretty much from the first time I ever pressed go live. So Slender in particular and Vex, those two have seen me grow from, like, being an engineer, because I was an engineer before a voice actor, and, like, just starting, like, whenever I announced my very first role and whenever I talked about, like, maybe I want to be a voice actor, I don't know, it seems like it could be cool. Like, they watched me go from having never done it to a full-time thing now.
Well, so in other words, like, these guys over here at discord.t1podcast.com have been with you since the early scene emo days.
Hey, look at that! Yeah, that is me. All right. That's yeah. This is impressive.
You look like a rejected member of Attack Attack.
Dude, I love Attack Attack. I would still have that hair if my wife.
Do you remember the Crabcore meme?
I love Attack Attack. Like, Six Sickly was a great album. That was a picture I took with my bandmates for my very first garage band, Auras and Allies. It was a good time. Good time.
I did a little research in Auras and Allies. I noticed that you're listed under a different last name, and I was kind of wondering, when you got married to your wife, did you take on her last name?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
So my father-in-law never had a son, right? So he had two daughters, and I have a brother with my surname. So with that being said, like, he was like, hey, if I die, my surname's not going to be passed on. Do you mind taking that? So whenever you have kids, it'll go on. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem.
Simp.
Shut the fuck up, Tristan.
No, that's actually really sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool, Jacob.
The reason I thought the picture was especially funny is because, like, I went through that exact same phase myself back in the day.
No!
I had, like, the emo swoop and everything. So I've been there, bud.
He's got the Tristan hair.
Oh, fuck off, TJ. I'm going to come over to your house and beat the fuck out of you with my slipper. I'm going to shove it so far up your ass, I'm going to pull it out of your dick. You motherfucker.
You're going to beat me with La Chancla? You're like a Hispanic mother.
I also, even specifically down to the point of like the checkered wristbands, I had those too. So.
Yeah. Oh, love that.
Yeah. Wait, did you have the checkered Vans?
Yeah. I did own those for a time.
Audio was the shoe brand for me. ADIO, because Bam Margera did like a crossover thing with them. So yeah. I had Audio. I don't even think they make Audios anymore.
Well, I think they do. It's like a skater brand, right?
Yeah. I used to skate, so.
If Amir was here, we'd have like the meetup of the like the former scene kids.
Yeah, the meetup of the meetup of the emos. Yeah, I could see it.
Tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
Anyway, so Jacob, you're a musician.
I am a musician, yes.
And TJ was excited for that because he always wants to talk about like rap on the podcast, but we never get to. So
no, like we're just gonna talk about metal on this one.
Oh, okay.
Ah, a rapist.
A rapist.
That's what those are called, right? How do you spell that?
I prefer the term rapper, but yeah, we'll go with that.
Oh, okay.
TJ, go ahead and bring up music. We can talk about music.
Okay. So yeah. I know that you're in a...
And there he goes.
TJ?
There goes my hero.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Why did you do that?
He's back.
Wait, what happened?
Somebody kicked me out.
Tristan, stop kicking him out of the call. Jesus.
How can I kick TJ? I don't have feet.
Are you in a wheelchair?
I'm in some kind of chair.
Well, that could just mean a chair. That's not a profound statement.
I think they need to strap you to the electric chair.
Anyway, music. Okay. So yeah, Jacob makes really cool music.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you think so.
Yeah, TJ, discuss.
Okay. So I kind of want to get into your musical background, like what your early influences are, how you got into some bands, you know? So.
So my first band was a garage band called my very 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 first band, and I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly.
The first podcast exclusive.
Wow.
Oh man. So I was in a Christian rock band.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Oh yeah.
The
yeah.
Skillet.
No, it was called if I remember correctly. And it's the cringiest 13-year-old in a Christian rock band name ever. So That Hearts May Melt.
Oh
yeah, dude.
Were you into like Good Charlotte or something? Or
I was. Oh no, I think it was like I wasn't like the front man of the band. The front man of the band was like really really into the whole church thing, which I mean I was at the time as well because like I'm from the American South and my parents didn't feel like raising me, so they just shipped me off to a church and they raise you, right? That's just kind of how it goes. But like he was really big into that, so I think it was like from a Bible verse or something like that, if I remember correctly. So yeah, it was me, a guy named Corey, a guy named Alan, and we put out some music. And then I don't know, like yeah, that was a time in my life. I'm just waiting in the distant future if I ever make it, like, as a famous voice actor or a famous musician, if it ever happens. Like, for fucking, who's that interviewer? The really small Jewish guy with the curly hair and he's got...
Nardwar,
yeah. Nardwar to come at me with a So That Hearts May Melt album that we put out. I'm waiting on Nardwar to give me an album that I put out when I was, like, 12 years old. So yeah, there was that.
I watch a lot of Nardwar, so.
Yeah, we can tell.
And then, like, me and some members of that band, well, that band dissolved, but I was still friends with everyone, and, like, they started a new band with the nude singer, because, like, I was, like, working a lot at the time. Like, we're, like, 18 at this point, right? And, like, they didn't like the singing of the other guy, so they just formed a new band, which was Ours and Allies. And it was everybody except for the singer, and they replaced him with me. Because they liked the way I could sing. And then Ours and Allies was like a pet project for a while. And it's like the music that Ours and Allies puts out is not really for the public. It's really more for us. And it's meant to be technically impressive. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's like lots of weird time signatures and lots of like crazy music theory kinds of stuff. You know?
So kind of like mathcore type of
thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like stuff that like people, and I hate using the word normal people because it sounds so elitist.
Normies.
Like people who like aren't into music theory or people who like, they just wouldn't have an appreciation for it because, like, oh, they're playing in, like, a funky time signature in a key that makes no sense, and they're making changes. Like, they're doing, like, Coltrane changes and everything. It's like, music made for people who do stuff like that. That's what Ours and Allies was.
I don't mean to like, interject too much here, but that just sounds like math rock to me. That's like an actual thing that people listen to.
Yeah. It's becoming that. Like, now you've got Periphery and fucking polyphia in animals as leaders. It's becoming more popular, but at the time it was like not super duper popular.
Were you into like Tool?
Yeah, I like Tool. So at the time, one of my other hobbies was shooting music videos, getting really into like VFX and shooting music videos and everything. And one of the music videos guys I really, 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 really liked, his name is Jeremy Brookover. And he was shooting a music video for a band called Concepts. And at the time, I was working on offshore oil rigs. So I was in for 14 days at a time.
Oh.
And then out for 14 days at a time, right? And at the time, also, I was seeing my wife, who was living in Japan. So I'd fly to Japan for 14 days of the month, and then fly back to the United States. And I was flying in and out of Houston. So Jeremy Brookover, he was making music videos, and he posted it on Facebook. He was like, hey, I'm making this like music video for this band called Concepts, and like if anybody wants to be an extra or something in it, let me know. And it's just like a post he put out on Facebook. And I had modeled all of my camera gear after Jeremy because I was such a fan of his style. And I was like, I hit him up on Facebook. I was like, hey, Jeremy, like I have the same exact camera setup as you. I'm a big fan. And like if you need a B cam for this music video that you're shooting, I'll be happy to sit in and do that. And he was like, bet, yeah, for sure. So I came in and I shot this music video with this band called Concepts. Me and the guys in Concepts got along really, really, really well. Got along very, very well. We shot the music video and I kept on hanging out with Concepts afterwards. And now, and I ended up singing for Concepts for a while as well. I not so much anymore. Like, it's not official that I've left, but we just kind of stopped making music altogether. But the guitarist for Concepts, Hunter, I tapped in to come in and help start making music for Sesamoid and Farfetch'd. So yeah, that's how that all worked, you know. So that's kind of like a brief. And now I make music for a band called Sesamoid, which is like a kind of like Gorillaz, where it's like they're animated and they exist in a show called Farfetch'd, but they're like a band that puts out real music for you to consume on Spotify and everything like that. So it's fun.
Would that be Sesamoid.rocks?
Sesamoid.rocks. Yes, Sesamoid.rocks is our really shitty website. So Ashley designed the website. Ashley's the showrunner, by the way. Her and Dave Captivel created the show. And the show takes place in like the early 2000s, like 2010, 2008, somewhere around there. So like that's why the website's designed and looks like that. A lot of people's like, "Oh man, they didn't really try hard on this website." I was like, "It's not supposed to look good. It's supposed to be like period relevant, right?"
Yeah, this is supposed to look like a GeoCities site. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you go to sesamoid.rocks, you can find more information about that there.
I remember like Gorillaz had a website too.
That's not surprising to hear. Is there a band?
I mean, I was just thinking of that. I just remembered like all of the old videos on like
the list. Oh, you mean like way back in the day?
Yeah, it was just like,
oh,
never mind.
Okay. I thought you were just like, yeah, Gorillaz has a website too.
No, it was just okay. Making me think of the old Gorillaz website from like the 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, it was it like a Space Jam situation where it was like a capsule in time or?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. I have a question for the four of us, by the way.
Shoot.
And I know that it's a question that you ask and then there's an immediate pop culture meme answer, and I'm curious if you guys have a slightly more developed answer, I guess, or an answer with like a little bit of a reason behind it.
Oh, you have too much faith in me.
Oh, well, I mean, this is it's a pretty basic question.
Let's go for it.
All right, which is is Nickelback really that bad?
No, Nickelback is not bad at all.
No,
they're not. What the fuck did Nickelback do to anybody?
I'm gonna say they are. I'll let everyone give their answers.
I've always been kind of neutral with them. I never really hated them.
Okay.
There are some things that the internet have just come together and decided to bully and like hate on for some reason. And I feel like like your Family Guys, your Guy Fieri's, your Nickelbacks. Like, what the fuck did they do to anybody? Like, they make good shit. It's just as acceptable as anything else, you know? Yeah. I like Nickelback. I like Guy Fieri. Okay. And I like Family Guy.
Well, with Nickelback as well, like, not every song they make is good. Like, that's just, you know, that's just a fact. But for a band that has been going for as long as they have, they're still going pretty fucking strong and making decent music. And it's kind of like, honestly, an example I could give is everyone bullied the fuck out of Among Us because of just a stupid meme, and now it's shat on.
Well, it kind of happened to Fortnite and Minecraft at points, too.
You know, okay, I can see where you guys are coming from. The thing is, like, I'm kind of like a music head.
Well, hold on, just one more thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Nickelback, I was like, oh, Nickelback sucks, Nickelback is bad, everyone's saying that on the internet. I know a lot of you fuckers are just lying and jumping on the bandwagon because
If you pull them up on Spotify right now, over 16 million monthly listeners. Fuck you.
I think they got a lot of hate because it became really oversaturated on the radio where you just constantly heard Nickelback.
Did they suffer from Chris Pratt syndrome where they just got so big that
it
was just a meme? And also, why Nickelback when Creed is right there?
Yeah, I was going to mention Creed, yeah.
In the same vein, right?
Creed gets a lot of hate, too.
Let's go there.
I mean, okay. So Tristan brings up a good point, which is that, well, he was alluding to this. He didn't quite get to it, but it's a point that some people will make, which is like, well, a lot of people hate on Nickelback, but they don't know their music at all. Like, they just say that they hate it because they heard a song once on the radio and they're like, eh. And they just see the internet trend and they're like, oh, this is no good, because it's fun to hate in bandwagon fashion. But the thing is, like, I remember posting something on Facebook back in the day. There was a feature where you could find all of your friends who liked a certain thing, and so it was like a meme to like post a screenshot of all your friends who liked Nickelback. It was a stupid like 2012 trend or something. And one of my friends who got tagged in it, he actually was like, hey, have you ever actually listened to them? They're actually really good. And I sat down to myself and I thought, you know what? I should be a little bit more familiar with their discography if I'm going to say that they're bad.
Yeah.
And so I pulled them up on Spotify and I listened to a song and I listened to a couple more songs and, you know, a good couple albums after a while. And
you just weren't really feeling it.
They're just not very good. Like, they're fine. They're not bad. Their music isn't, it's not soulless. It doesn't hurt to listen to.
Right.
But I do think the point about them just not like, their fame compared to their musical talent is just way off. I think that's actually true. Personally, I don't feel like they add anything to the music industry. I don't feel like they've advanced it at all. And I feel like a lot of other bands that are more deserving of the fame should have had it, to be honest. But I know that's like a fantasy. Like, that's never gonna happen.
Oh, that's a bunch of stuff though. Like, no hate on Billie Eilish, but like she's really not all that talented either, you know. Like, whenever you have famous,
I don't think she's that bad though. She's okay.
You know, there are a lot of people out there who don't deserve the fame they have. That's nothing new, you know.
You're right. Yeah, that's why I said it's like a fantasy to suggest otherwise.
I'm gonna make a quick counterpoint, if that's okay.
No, Tristan, it's not okay. You're not allowed to have. Yes, of course.
No. I just wanted to make sure. Like, I just wanted to interject before. I didn't want to interject as you were still finishing up your point.
You're good.
Okay. So, as Lars was saying, like, he doesn't really feel like they add much of anything to the music industry, or like really, I guess, are deserving of like their notoriety. Ugh, can't English right now.
Well, notoriety has a little bit of a negative connotation. Maybe notability, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just how popular they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that just because something doesn't really like change the music industry or necessarily like add extreme things to it doesn't really necessarily mean they're not bad. Like, they don't really have to add anything as long as their music is still well produced and enjoyed by people.
Well, let me put on my tinfoil hat for a
second. What's good and bad is relative to the...
Well, let him put on his hat. He's dressing up for the show.
I'm gonna put on my little tinfoil hat. What is popular these days is not popular because it is good. It is popular because it is profitable for record companies.
Right.
Like, if I can pay an artist or I can pay a band, I can produce, you know, using my own studios with one producer who is on my payroll, or I have to pay a band writing credits and royalties across seven people, you know.
Right.
It's just easier for record companies to manage artists versus bands. So that's why
bands aren't really much of a thing anymore.
No, and it's not because they make bad music. There are bands out there that make great music, fantastic music. It's just not being promoted because it's not profitable to do so. And that, for some reason, is being translated in the eyes of the public. It was like, oh, they're not good. It's not popular because it's not good. Like, no, it's not popular because it's not profitable for record companies to spend millions of dollars to promote it.
I mean, for the longest time, I didn't realize that Tame Impala was one guy.
Like, a lot of these artists these days, like, do you think they actually own their cars and their house? Like, no, they're leasing them from the record company. You know, like, because the record company wants them to have this image that, oh, they're famous, oh, they've got money, oh, they don't have no problems or anything like that. As soon as their contract's up, that house is being repoed, that car is being taken back, like...
Yeah, it's like that one guru on YouTube, what was his name? That Ty Lopez guy who would, like, rent all those...
Oh, a lot of those guru guys like just rent out cars to make themselves appear wealthier.
Here in my garage, you know what's more important than my Ferrari? Knowledge.
Knowledge. That's an old meme, but that checks out as fuck at this point.
But yeah, like you got bands like NSYNC. Like, what are they doing these days? The record company took everything from them. They didn't have anything.
Well, Justin Timberlake went solo.
Justin Timberlake, that's about it. Or Backstreet Boys might have been another good example.
Yeah, the thing about the Backstreet Boys is that they kind of... I don't think that they're great, but I mean, they added something to 90s kind of pop boy. Like
they were huge in the early 2000s, late night. Huge. And now,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's true. So take this wheelbarrow. So I heard like some of them were like working like job ass jobs. Like oh, I'm a general contractor or some shit like that. You know, like
general contractor.
You don't really hear about the other members of Destiny's Child other than Beyonce. Or like, what are the Spice Girls doing?
Well, now, I mean, Ice Spice really took off from that group.
Oh my God.
Anyways, thanks for having me.
So I'm really sorry about that stupid fucking joke. If you follow Drill at all.
Ice isn't a spice!
Yeah. If you follow Drill at all, you know what I'm talking about.
See, baby spice makes sense because babies are a spice. You grind them up and put them on your pizza. Ice is not a spice.
What the fuck?
Well, ice rhymes with spice is the thing.
It does. That's a good observation, TJ. Thank you for bringing that up.
The last quick thing I was going to say on as we're still on this topic is not just because content exists doesn't have to mean it adds or takes away from something. It could still be popular or not really well known. And there's a lot of channels I watch that are like great content, but not popular. And then there's a lot of channels that are popular and their content is just absolute dog shit. Like, it's just the nature of creating, because sometimes eyes are never going to be put on something that's truly talented because, one, it's hard to get the word out there. And two, it's just not profitable enough for people to maintain and do long term.
So
it is very hard to get the word out, but go ahead, TJ.
I do think sometimes the opposite happens, where an artist becomes so popular that people just hate on them and they don't really like, they kind of underestimate their talent. And there's like a few artists that only have like recently people kind of realized, oh, they actually are good. And I kind of feel that that happened with like Lil Wayne, really. Like, because back in the day, he was, like, really oversaturated on the radio where people were just tired of him. But only recently people started realizing that he's, like, a really talented rapper. Like, his lyricism is, like, really good.
Oh, yeah, I have a few of his songs on my Spotify.
Or, like, if you really dive deep into his discography, not just, like, the radio hits. Or, like, Bruno Mars. I think Bruno Mars people kind of warmed up to him, especially when he started doing... Silk Sonic, because people were like tired of.
I just think, yeah,
because like his radio hits.
I think he's unironically good. Yeah,
his radio hits. People were like, "Oh my god, do I have to hear Uptown Funk again?" But like, unironically, he is a good singer.
Well, let's put it this way as well.
Yeah.
If we're measuring, going back to like the discussion of like artists versus bands and everything like that, Bruno Mars is, like you said, ungodly popular. Like
yes.
One of the largest, most famous artists in the world. And he is talented. He's a talented singer, yes. But if you compare his fame to a band like Polyphia, for example, Polyphia are just leagues above Bruno Mars in terms of sheer talent.
But it's also apples to oranges, though, because it's different genres and like they're more focused on... like musicality with instruments.
I'm saying like, I'm talking about like musicianship as a whole, because like writing included, you know what I mean? Being able to play a guitar but being able to write a melody, being able to like carry a tune. Like,
well,
I do really like the Silk Sonic project that Bruno Mars has been doing with Anderson .Paak. It's like really good.
I like Anderson
.Paak.
Very
well produced.
But like, so. I think Polyphia is much more deserving of fame than the level they have currently. You know what I mean? Because they're like modern day savants. Like they I would argue to say that they're some of the best musicians in the history of music itself. You know what I mean? Like in terms of sheer talent. You know, if anybody ever got famous for music, if everyone ever made money or got rich from music, it should be them, in my opinion.
I haven't personally heard that band, but I mean the comparison I guess I would make in that situation would probably be like Bruno Mars to Radiohead, but I also wouldn't compare them in that situation. It feels weird to like compare musicianship if it's it, like, because Bruno Mars at the end of the day is a pop artist, and like to say, well, they're not as good, he's not as good musically as like Tom York or something, is a strange comparison.
Well, Polyphia makes pop as well.
Okay. Well, so does Radiohead.
Radiohead start out making more poppy hits, but then they start becoming more experimental. Or you could say that about the Beatles too. They became more experimental.
Yeah, you could.
I think Paul McCartney was actually the most talented of the four, actually, in my opinion, in terms of songwriting.
I guess so. Beatles are one of those bands that like I deeply, deeply respect, and I have a few songs on my Spoofy.
Because I was also counting like their work when they all went solo afterwards. Like I think Paul McCartney kind of became like the shining talent.
They're very good, and I think I'm more interested in like learning about their history than I am actually listening to them. If that makes any sense. Like I like the whole stuff about like Paul is dead and John is kill and all that. And,
All these rumors about like how when they first started, like, oh, I didn't even know how to play the drums. They had to like lock him in the basement and force him to learn how to play the drums.
Me, Ringo?
Then why are you one of the largest artists in the planet? Why are you selling out stadiums when you yourself admittedly cannot play the instruments?
Ringo, no. Ringo was the good drum player. No, they had Pete Best, and he was like a shitty, they had to kick him out of the band.
Yeah.
What was it where they say, you think Ringo Starr is the best drummer in the world? And they said, Ringo Starr isn't even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Yeah, but
I think Ringo got a little bit too much hate, to be honest. Yeah. Because he was like the least popular member.
Well, drummers always have it pretty bad, I think, in most situations. Unless you're like Meg White or something. Like, you're not going to usually rise to the top.
Or like the, who's like the one-armed drummer? Like from, was he in Def Leppard or something? Or
yeah, Def Leppard.
Who's the one-armed drummer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was like, he jerked off a little too much and then he lost his arm and he still did Def Leppard with his other arm. Or something like that.
Also, a Def Leppard would be a horrible, like, it would starve in the jungle, let's be fair.
Yeah. How would it hear its prey?
I'm trying to think of other famous drummers, like, oh, Phil Collins is another one. Yeah.
Joey says Radiohead's an album artist rather than a singles artist. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes not. No, I mean, it depends on the album.
Some artists are good being technically proficient at an instrument. Some are good at making it, like, a whole album as, like, a concept, like, as, like, a... And then some are just good at making singles.
I felt like it was a shame with Daft Punk, because I feel like with Ram, they were actually like starting to get to that point of but then they just kind of quit.
No, I had a really big example of like an artist that I thought that I think people underestimated when he was alive and was like really popular on the radio, and they didn't realize like how much of like a virtuoso he was. And
Klaus Nomi?
No, Prince.
Prince.
Oh yeah,
good.
He's great.
Yeah, Prince is like. Prince is an amazing guitarist if you actually like look into his performances, and then he could play like 20 different instruments. Like,
but then I compare Prince to like Angel Vivaldi, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god!
Okay,
dude.
Come on. Compare Prince to Weird Al Yankovic. Come on, Weird Al's pretty good.
amazing technical guitarist Tim Henson, Angel Vivaldi, both of those guys.
I don't think you guys can really top though. Like Tenacious D is like. Really talented.
Kyle Gass.
I did want to ask you about, since you live in Japan, you've been moving between the United States and Japan, like how that kind of came to be, and then like stark differences you kind of see between the two cultures.
Okay, yeah. I moved to Japan because my family's here, right? you know, I've got a support structure and everything like that. So I've been living
here. Are you half Japanese?
I've got a little in me.
How many Japanese men are inside of you right now?
At least one.
Whoa.
At least one. So, my family's here. Before living in Japan, I was living in Houston, Texas, working as a project engineer for a company called Nabors, N-A-B-O-R-S. They are the largest land-based oil and gas drilling contractor on the planet. I worked in their corporate office as a project engineer. Prior to that, I'd been working in the oil and gas industry from the time I was 18 to the time I was like 28, 29. So a very, very long time, all with the same company. I've worked every position in the oil and gas industry from roustabout to roughneck to derrickman. You know, I've done it all. If it can be done on an oil rig, I've probably done it. Even those rough and tumble jobs that you see, like, only a real man does this kind of work. You know, I'm sure you've seen those posts. Yes, I've been a roughneck. I've worked floors. I've thrown chains. I've tripped pipe. I've done it all.
If your hands don't look like this while you're eating your lunch, you must be a liberal sissy. Must be a sissy boy.
And I ended up being a project engineer in Houston, Texas. When I was living in Texas, I was living with another voice actor. His name was Will Stamper. You might have heard him from Has Been Hotel or Sleepy yep. Cabin. So Stamper and I were living together in Houston while I was waiting on my wife's green card. My wife, who is from Japan, was waiting on my wife's green card to come in. So once my wife's green card did come in, obviously, you know, Stamper moved back in with his mother, I think. Yeah, he moved back in with his mother. Me and my wife were living in Houston for a little while before my wife got pregnant with my first son. After my wife got pregnant with my first son, I was at a point in my voice acting career where I was making about the same money with voice acting and music that I was with my engineering gig. So I thought, like, if I pursued voice
acting...
That's
pretty good, if so. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, if I really pursued this voice acting thing full time, I bet I could make this, like, a livable type thing, right?
Yeah.
So my wife just had our first baby, and, like, my wife expressed to me, like, hey, I want our kid to be, like, raised around Japanese culture, and, like, I would love it if, like, you know, my parents, her parents... could like help raise him and everything like that, because it's really important, you know. Like, she's like, I know you're not really close with your family, but Japanese culture, I want to be close with my family. So, okay, cool. Like, I can work anywhere doing this voice acting stuff. So, yeah, we can move back to Japan. That's fine. I speak the language. It's cool. We can go. It won't be that much of an adjustment. So, we move back to Japan with my son and my wife. And I was living with my family for a little while my house was under construction. Because we, like, just did a new build, right? So now my house is built, and I'm all moved into my house. So, yeah, and as far as, like, culture and everything, I mean, everywhere has good and bad things. I mean, I was raised in the United States, right? And I lived mm-hmm. in the United States for all my life, pretty much. So, like, I was very much Americanized. But, I don't know, I find, and this is going to sound weeb as shit, Japanese culture really meshes with my mannerisms and personality anyways. Like, I'm more of like a reserved kind of a person. I'm more of like a kind of do what needs to be done, not because it's easy, but because it's the way things ought to be done kind of a thing. You know, like the kind of guy who always puts his his shopping cart back, right? Like, kind of thing, because that's just how it's done. It's like a social contract. That's just what you do. Like, nothing bad's gonna happen.
You're saying you're
an
anime protagonist, basically.
Well, I mean, you know, like, if somebody, I'll put it to you this way, if I could sum it up, if you're the type of person who always puts his shopping cart back, then you'll do just fine in Japan. You'll do just fine in Japan. Because, like, not putting your shopping cart back isn't illegal. Nobody's going to say anything about it. The cops aren't going to come and get you. But, like, you put your shopping cart back because there's a social contract there. Like, it's the right thing to do. You just ought to do it. And Japanese culture and Japanese society, in what I've experienced, is very much similar, right?
Yeah. I know that's, like, the classic example, by the way. But here in, like, my area of Southern California, it's kind of the opposite, because they actively pay people to be out there. And so they just... It's weird because, like, I used to work that job. And if you didn't have any carts, you just kind of had to sit there and pretend to be busy. So it's like we didn't necessarily want people to always put all of their carts back.
Well, in the South, we don't have that. Like in Texas, Louisiana, we didn't have that. It's just
We got little cart guys here.
I don't like it when they take the carts like across the fucking street into the Burger King parking lot. And then you have to go get it, and it's like next to the drive-thru, and the lady's like, baby, you have to be in a cart to order in a car to order. And I'm like, I'm getting the cart. I'm not fucking ordering. And she's like, well, why are you in the drive-thru? And I'm like, I'm getting this shopping cart. And then you argue with them. And then you go back eventually to the parking lot. And then your boss is mad at you because they're like, where the fuck were you? And I'm like, I was just getting the goddamn shopping cart. And then you get into another argument. And then you finally go on break about 3.5 hours late. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Courtesy clerk problems. Anyway.
The one thing I don't like about Japan is the food.
Not a seafood guy.
No. I was raised in Louisiana, and Cajun food is like my soul food. I love a good jambalaya or a gumbo or, you know, etouffee. Or, you know, I love that stuff, like fried alligator tail and everything. Like, I like it. And it's just really hard to find that kind of cuisine here, like what I'm used to eating kind of a thing. You know, my palate's not really adjusted for it very well. Fun fact, Dave Capdeville and I went to the same university, and we did not know each other at the time.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
that's a weird, that is a weird coincidence.
So you guys might have, like, walked by each other and maybe, like, kissed a little bit and just never know each other, yeah.
I would have been his upper classic, because, like, he was coming in as I was leaving, kind of a
Wait,
thing.
Oh, okay. Dave Capdeville could have been shitting in the bathroom at one point, and you could have walked in at the same time of his shitting.
And you would have been like, oh, God, what was that?
He had a radio show. in our town.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, here's some Dave Capdeville. He had a radio show on a radio station called KLPI, which, now that I think about it, Dave also kind of helped write the pilot for Has Been Hotel, so that probably has influences on Alistair being a radio show host, being from Louisiana and being a radio show host. Now that I think about it, Dave was from Louisiana and was a radio show host.
It's literally just a self-insert of Dave at this point. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think we know another Jacob that was a it's been a guest before, and he has, like, a radio show in, like, Ohio or something. Or was it Iowa? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's in Iowa. That's a bit far from Louisiana, so I don't think that's related, but...
A bit far from Louisiana. I know.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of that.
We know a lot of radio guys, though, I guess. That makes sense.
What's our next question? What do we got? What do we got?
You guys want to do some readings with Jacob?
Sure. Send me some scripty poos. What do you got?
I still have the game theory I sent you.
All right, Spaghetto, you ready for this?
Yes, I'm so
I've
ready.
I've got your game theory. All right, so the character is MatPat.
Serenade us.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Game Theory. Today on Game Theory, we discuss whether or not it's gay to have sex with Markiplier while he's playing Five Nights at Freddy's and wearing socks.
Was that the bite of 87?
There you go.
I'm imagining, like, some vine booms as you're saying that. Too, so.
Is it gay? Boom. My go-to one is, today on Game Theory, we find out whether Yoshi's cloaca is the largest cloaca in the entire Mario universe. One so large, in fact, it can fit 5 entire Empire State Buildings. Or some shit like that.
It can fit 5 animatronics inside Yoshi's cloaca.
Jesus, fuck. Jesus.
Looks like old Yoshi's suffering from some cloacal dissonance.
Jacob, can you say in the MatPat voice, will Spaghetto ever play Pac-Man 3D Ghosts again? Yeah.
No.
Which asks the age-old question, will Spaghetto ever play Pac-Man 3D Ghosts again?
Well, I guess I have to include that in the video now.
We should use that when you do the redemption video, Spaghetto, at that point.
You'll have to remember though, Lars. I have shit memory.
Yeah, I'll save the clip. Don't worry. Anyway, we got anything left?
I mean, I also wanted to, like, ask him, like, to do some readings, like, in Japanese. Like, we could ask him, like, how to say some dirty stuff in Japanese.
What the fuck?
Sure, I'm down.
If we're gonna do that, let's just keep it, like, one last thing, because I don't want to, like, overburden here. So if you got something really good.
What dirty Japanese do you want to know?
While he's thinking about that, Jacob Takanashi, have you played the hit game Binding of Isaac?
I have. Why do you ask?
No further questions.
It's just my favorite video game. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've played it. I'll tell you something after the stream.
Okay, I can't wait. Okay.
Yeah, by the way, I feel like it's been going for a little while. I feel like we've, like, barely asked any questions at all. We've had, like, 3 topics this entire episode.
I tried to steer it away, but it's just we kept getting stuck on bullshit. A little bit of lore on Jacob, and then music.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a musical guest, so we kind of took the chance. I think that's fine.
Okay, I thought of something. Could you, like, tell us about, like, probably, like, some of the weirdest stuff that you've had to do readings for? Because I know you've done, like, you gotten roles in, like, erotic Japanese stuff.
And I have.
Like, say some of the lines from one of those productions.
Okay, yeah, sure. Like,
you remember, yeah.
One of the lines that I get very, 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 very often is,
Shinpai shinaide, ohime-sama.
Which is like, don't worry about it, my princess. You know, like, I get shit like that a lot.
No, keep going.
Stop.
It's like, その顔いつも とってもかわいいだろうね。難しくないだろうな。Like shit like that.
Directed at Spaghetto.
that's plenty. No, you're good. You're good.
One of the lines, but just add Spaghetto to it.
I've done lots of like implied stuff. I've only ever done one project where I had to do like an explicit sexual reading that detailed penetration and everything like that.
Oh, not the P word. Fuck.
Yeah. And that wasn't even in Japanese. That was for an audiobook.
Oh.
It was like on Amazon.
I didn't even go on a pen name. That's just under my actual last name, by the way.
Did the reading go something like this? As he cut a hole in the apple and penetrated it with his penis.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that book? It was by an Indian author named Pooja, P-O-O-J. I think it was called You Are My Addiction.
Oh.
And I read it for, I was under contract, a company called Star Reading Limited for an audiobook company called We Hear. I did 3 books for them. I did a war novel called Second Chance War. That was really cool. It was a book about, like, a guy who had, like, he was on the beaches of Normandy and knocked himself out and went into, like, he fell unconscious on the beaches of Normandy during World War II. And, like, while he was unconscious, he had, like, had this vision of, like, what the world was going to be like. Were Nazi Germany to win World War II. So when he came to, he kind of knew all their secrets and plans and shit like that. And that helped them win the war. That was a cool book. The other 2 books I did for them, despite explicitly asking not to do 18 plus content, they sent them to me anyways. And I was under contract to do them, so I had to do them. But yeah.
Were they like Chuck Tingle-esque kind of audiobooks? Or?
I mean, that You Are My Addiction has like explicit penetration, like cum shots, the whole nine
whoa,
yards.
Whoa. Okay, chill. I can only take so much right now, Jacob. Relax.
He's very sensitive after he completes. By the way, TJ, weren't you saying before the recording that you were going to try to get Jacob to say some naughty lines specifically to Spaghetto?
Yeah, I wanted say something flirty directed at him just to see how he would react, just to get back at him for all the weird sus shit that he says to me.
Want me to say, I want your dick in my mouth or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Spaghetto-sama, 俺の口の中ではチンポ入ってください。
It's, please... Spaghetto, please put your dick in my mouth.
Well,
ore no is my, so ore means I, but the no changes I to my.
You were so polite about it. How can I, like, refuse?
Kuchi no naka de wa is, like, inside of my mouth. Chinpo, haite. So chinpo is, like, penis. Haite means, like, haiteru to put it in. And kudasai means please.
I recognize Chimpo because there is an episode of South Park, I think it was called Chimpokemon.
Chimpokemon,
where
yeah.
Where they did like a Pokemon parody, yeah.
But Chimpo is like a kind of a goofy, funny word of saying it.
Because I've memorized like that line from those Filthy Frank videos when Chin Chin would come out. You'd say like, Ore wa gadasuke nan da yo.
Chin-chin-chin-ga daisuki nan da yo, which is I love dick. Anytime Filthy Frank says anything in Japanese, the subtitles are always wrong.
Yeah.
Like there's one, he's like, Minasama, konnichiwa. And like, he's like, in Japanese, he's saying like, I've got 2 Jews tied up in my closet and I won't let them out. But like, if you read the subtitles, it's like, I'm going to teach you Japanese today. We're going to learn some fun, interesting words or some shit like that. But if you like, listen to what he's actually saying in Japanese, it's funny. Also, fun fact, the Dick Planet merch, the t-shirt, in Japanese on the side, it says Chinpoku no Wakuse, which is Dick Planet in Japanese.
Is it in the cards for me to... get a signed Japanese Dick Planet shirt?
I'll have to order more, but I don't have any on hand. I only made, like, a very limited run when we did do them, and, like, fucking only, like, 4 people of the 10 people I sent the t-shirts to actually got them.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. That's post for you, dude.
That's a pretty low success rate.
I haven't, like, mass-produced them just yet, because, like, that was a whole thing where, like, I had spent my time finding, like, a reputable t-shirt printing company local in Houston because I wanted to oversee production. I wanted the shirts to be of like a nice quality because like the last thing I want is to like open a Redbubble or something like that and like somebody who like really genuinely enjoys my content and wants to support the channel, it's like, you know what, I've got $20, I want to support Jacob, and they put like their hard-earned money, because they worked for that money, and they put it, gave it to Redbubble, and Redbubble sends them like a really shitty t-shirt with like miscolored print. I would feel bad. So yeah. I spent a lot of time like finding reputable printers and everything like that. And by the end of it, the t-shirts were like really, really expensive to produce because they were just really high quality. And we never sold them. We did give some away though, as part of like a anniversary stream or something, if I remember correctly. In the future, when we ever do mass produce them, because Dick Planet's not, I mean, that level of popular. Then we'll do that.
Yeah, let me know. I'd happily buy one.
For sure, for sure. And I've had other people tell me that they would love to buy one to support the channel, but like, I don't know. Like, I just don't stream all that often, and like, I appreciate them, like people wanting to like send me money and support me and everything like that. It's just like, I would feel bad at that point. It becomes like, I feel like I'm responsible and I feel like I need to put out content. Whereas right as it stands right now, like I don't have a Patreon. I don't have like any way for people to monetarily support me aside from like Twitch subs, you know, which that's something that like Twitch takes, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, at that point, it's like, I have to do it. But right now, it's like something that I want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jacob, I used to work for a print shop back in the day. And my boss said something to me, which I thought it's kind of stuck with me. And it's kind of a dickish thing to say, but it's true. Which is, don't count other people's money. And I feel like if people want Dick Planet merch, just give it to them. Even if you're not doing too much to like to stream and stuff. If people want to rock your stuff. That's a compliment. I think I would just let him.
I can hold on. I'll put the. I think I still have the. Hold on. Let me see if I can find the design. It's a really cool. I commissioned an artist to do it, and I paid a lot of money. After everything was said and done. Hold on.
Well, then you definitely need to get the bag, dude. You paid money for the commission.
Oh wait, hold up, Pineapple.
What?
Jacob got timed out from the server because he posted a link.
Oh no.
What?
He just DM'd me.
Was he posting the...
How?
I think he was posting the, like a link to the Dick Planet stuff, and I think it thought it was something bad. Oh, there he is.
Hello. So I put a link in the thing, and the bot auto-banned me.
Oh, he probably didn't have like the role or something. Or
sorry, Jacob. We set up a new bot about like 4 or 5 months ago, and I guess it just glitched because it's not supposed to do that.
Anyways, I found the design. Hold on.
Send the link to Trest and he'll post it for you.
Yeah, DM it.
We don't want to boot you again.
All right, I'll send it to Spaghetto.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Spaghetto here. Welcome back to another video. Today, we're going to take a look at Jacob Takahashi's Dick Planet merch. And as a gay homosexual, I do be liking that peni. So we're so excited to see a cock from Jacob himself.
But yeah, that's me and Cole and Ellie. As like a rubber nose kind of.
Oh, you meant rubber hose. I don't know why you said rubber nose.
Oh, like, yeah, like the animation style they use in Cuphead. Okay.
In the center there is myself. On the left is Ellie. And on the right is Cole. And then little Pibis is there. And then in Japanese on the side that says Chinpoku no Wakuse, which is a dick planet.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Right? It's a neat little design that I paid... God, what was that artist? I forget. I feel like such a dickbag. I forget. J Payak Media, I think. It's a Korean gentleman, if I remember correctly. He's quite good, though. Quite good. If ever I had a business that was scalable, I'd get him to do a lot more designs for me because I adore his art style.
Yeah, I'll post that. I'll have the editor post that in the video version, by the way. And if you're if you're listening on audio, too bad.
That video is like... of the print shop that I finally decided on because they had like these nice ink sublimation printers. So it wasn't like, you know how you get those like cheap t-shirts that just have, it feels like plastic that's been like heat transferred on top.
Right.
That printer itself actually stains the shirt with the ink. So it's like, you can't feel it. Like it's in the material. The shirt's stained with the design, right? So it's not like, it won't chip off or anything like that in the wash.
That is so fucking cool.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I fucking hate that when that happens.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, you get those cheap band t-shirts and like it's just like a heat transfer thing that they put on the shirt and it chips off in the wash.
Oh yeah.
You know, where this like stains the shirt. So like it's in the cloth. So it's
permanent.
Yeah, it's permanent.
Wait, like a black shirt? How do they do that at that point? That's really cool.
On a black shirt, it puts down a layer of white stain. And then it prints over that.
Oh, okay. Nice. So it's whitewashing the t-shirt, basically. Okay.
But we did white shirts, and then we did a limited run of pink shirts as well. It's really nice. It's really nice. They were expensive as shit to make, but
yeah,
it's really nice.
Are you guys ready to wrap?
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, the topics were few and far between, but that's because we spent so much time on them. So hope that was still fun for you guys. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll go ahead and do the rounds here. Jacob, thank you so much for coming back on, especially as a main guest. We really appreciate your time.
Ah, thanks for having me, man. You know, I'm not a big name yet, but boy, howdy, I'm trying. But thank you. I know I'm not much of a draw, but I'm very flattered and honored that you would consider me good enough for the prestigious first podcast. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And Tristan, if people have been listening to you on air and they want to check out your YouTube channel where we do Let's Plays, where can they do that?
YouTube.com/Spaghetto. Lars and I have been still uploading daily for your enjoyment, where we post videos of us getting scared, frustrated, and even a little bit spicy. But yeah, check it out. YouTube.com/Spaghetto. We have guests sometimes, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, also, we've been doing live streams recently. We just started those up again for the first time in years on his channel. So if you want to get that parasocial engagement, now's the time to do it. TJ, if people wanted to listen to your music, such as the intro to the podcast and more, how can they do that?
I post sporadically on soundcloud.com/Teege. It's TIEGE. But I am most active on this podcast, so that's where you're going to catch me most of the time. We need to ask the guests to plug their stuff, too. Jacob, do you have anything to promote, any future projects that you want to mention?
Let's see. Check out Farfetched. You know, that's one of my favorite projects. You know, so I love Dave. I love Ashley. So if you're into early 2000s rock or like creepy monster vibes and stuff like that, check out Farfetched. That's farfetched.show. I don't really have any like personal YouTube. Oh, check out Dick Planet on Twitch. All one word, Dick Planet. Yeah, we stream Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm not sure where U.S. time. It's 11 a.m. for Japan, so wherever that is in relation to you. Sorry for giving you homework. I haven't streamed in like a month, but I just got back from a convention where I did some signings, and my co-host Cole just got back from vacation, so we've been taking like a month and a half off. So we should start up here relatively soon. So yeah, Dick Planet.
YouTube.com/MattPat or Game Theory.
Yeah, I mean, make sure to check out Game Theory.
Yeah.
Put Sesamoid on all of your Spotify playlists, please. Sesamoid Band. Sesamoid.
Do it.
And yeah, thanks you. Thank you for having me.
It's like a bone in your foot, right?
It is.
Wait, guys, what if you had a boner in your foot and like when you got horny, like your foot had a boner?
We can't end the episode on this. Nope.
I have an idea for an outro though.
Okay, but before we do that, let's go ahead and talk about our stuff. If you've been listening to the podcast today or for a while and you want to check it out in the video version, if you're listening to this on audio, make sure to check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/@thefirstpodcast. We release video versions of the show, and you can go ahead and leave comments, unlike on Apple Podcasts and such. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, other way around, if you want to take this in your car with you, you can check us out on all the usual audio platforms. We got a Patreon at patreon.com/T1podcast if you want early listening privileges, bonus episodes, a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only chat, and more, as well as early access to Spaghetto's YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And we also have a Discord, discord.t1podcast.com, if you want to come hang out with the other listeners of the show and just talk about whatever people are chatting about lately. I guess the main thing has been cat memes lately. I'm not sure why. Anyway, discord.t1podcast.com for that, and thanks for listening.
So I do have an idea for an outro, and it involves Jacob, if you don't mind. But
I don't mind, man.
Could you do an outro for the podcast, but in Japanese?
Okay. Minasan, first podcast wo kiite kurete arigatou gozaimashita. Sore ja, matta ne.
That was really inappropriate.
Wait, was he shitting on our show?
Kiite kurete arigatou gozaimashita.
See? I knew it.
All right.